Chapter 38. The spring of 1945 came early. It was now the beginning of April, and the trees that rose from the ditches lining the barbed wire fences of Melk were already green. On the banks of the Danube, a green carpet replaced the snow, only patches of which remained to remind us of the severe winter through which we had just passed. I had been living in the Katzet for 8 weeks, through good days and bad, but the experience had sapped my strength and left me tired and weak. Only the hope of an early liberation kept me from slipping into a state of utter lethargy and indifference. Here everything was disintegrating. The final phases of the Third Reich's collapse were unfolding before our eyes. Defeated armies passed in interminable columns towards the interior of a country already reduced to smoking ruins. On the Danube, whose waters were swollen with the melting snows, hundreds of boats and barges transported the inhabitants of evacuated cities. The Third Reich's dream of a millennium was crumbling. The conviction of a people born to rule, of a master race, was giving way to bitter disillusionment. The peoples of Europe, avid for freedom, no longer lived in the fear that their town or city might, by a simple arbitrary stroke of the conqueror's pen, be wiped off the map. And my interjection, this following illustrates, this is a quote from Savage Continent, illustrates what Miklos is referring to, quote, "If the wholesale massacre of entire communities made the landscape seem eerie to outsiders, it was far more disorienting for the few who still lived amongst the emptiness. The survivors of the massacre at Oradour-sur-Glane in the Limousin region of France, for example, have never since fully come to terms with what happened to them. In the summer of 1944, in reprisal for local resistance activity, all the townsmen were rounded up and shot. The women and children were driven into the church, which was then set on fire. After the war, the authorities decided not to rebuild the village, but to construct a new town nearby. Oradour itself was to be preserved forever, exactly as it was on the day of the massacre. It is still a ghost town today. Similar massacres, equally brutal, occurred in countless local communities across Europe. Perhaps the most infamous massacre of them all was that at Lidice in Czechoslovakia, where the entire male population was shot in reprisal for the assassination of Reinhard Heydrich, the German deputy Reichsprotector of Bohemia and Moravia. The children of the village were then taken to the Chelmno concentration camp, where they were gassed, and the women were incarcerated at Ravensbrück as slave labor. The village itself was then burned and bulldozed, and the rubble carried away to allow the grass to grow where the buildings had once stood. The purpose of this massacre was not merely to punish the local community for resisting the occupation, but to entirely delete that community as if it had never existed. The Nazis then used the systematic destruction of the village as an advertisement of what would happen to any other village found to be even remotely involved in resistance activities." And we're going to be reading more from this book, Savage Continent, Europe in the Aftermath of World War II, next week. Continuing with Miklos Niezli. There was no longer any danger of seeing their homes plundered, of having themselves stripped of all they owned, of feeling the needlepoint tattoo numbers on their arms, of being shipped to forced labor camps and guarded by police dogs and SS troops whose badge was the death's head. The pyromaniacs of the Third Reich were now playing their final scene on the stage of the world. And my interjection, unfortunately, what we've seen is that instead of being decimated and allowing humankind to move on, they but pass the baton. Because what we are going to be discussing in upcoming weeks is the degree to which the mindset is singular. Hitler was a gift. A gift they feed with money because it serves a purpose. But it is, again, the motive force behind the acts that tells the truth, that reveals the truth. Hitler was used. The entire movement was convenient for a few. For what it did was destroy good fellowship. As we'll see when we read excerpts from Savage Continent, there was a rich, rich, vibrant diversity before it was destroyed. And they ain't done. You think the systematic encouragement of fascism, quote unquote, across Europe today, and not just across Europe. See, we have these names, various categories of totalitarianism. We have to start realizing that it's but shades, versions of one mindset, and that the vast majority are being herded into lockdown. So it don't matter if there's a privileged little subset of what power thinks is the only folks who matter in the so-called privileged West. What we judge our lives by, the quality of the world we live in by, is what's happening to all of us. We cannot accept betrayal again, not after all we've been through. We simply have to start looking at it and talking about it and realizing that the way we're told to look at it is false for a reason. If you had the reins of the world in your hands, you'd probably put up a fight too and lie your ass off to hang on to those reins. It only makes sense, but we don't hear that. This world has been defined. It has the stamp of class. It cannot be fixed, but simply bypassed while we create our own. And let the few who want to create a little oasis of rank and rigidly control each other, give them a space to do so. They won't last long, trust. Because knowing that there is freedom out there somewhere will inspire the children to abandon that mess. See, it is only having the resources of the world in their pocket that allow them to keep this going. We take this away from them. It ain't about force. They can think what they want to think. But they can't have us to do it for them, is the point. That's hideous. We cannot allow that at this point, after all this suffering we've been bearing witness to, thanks to the few, carried those stories forward.